what happens in the minute clinic.
I believe some people call those, what, doc in a box?
That's true, except they're not docs. They're mid-level people. They're nurse practitioners and physician assistants. And it's been demonstrated over and over again that these people overprescribe. So, oh, this is now, if you're a CVS, this is really fantastic, right? Because you get people in the door, which in essence you're forcing them to get in the door by a higher copay. This is 22 million people, and they're going to see mid-level care. They're going to receive a lot of prescriptions, which are going to be filled in that pharmacy at high retail prices.
It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
America is a deeply divided country, but on one issue, I think Democrats and Republicans agree, and that's on the rising cost of health care. We've all been affected, regardless of our socioeconomic status. We have experienced firsthand the changes that came with Obamacare. Some people call it the Unaffordable Health Care Act, the Affordable Health Care Act. Well, today we're talking about something that's about to take place. Maybe it won't take place, but there is a big merger about to take place between CVS and Aetna. The government has already approved it, but a judge is asking questions about antitrust. And I have today a very special guest. It's a doctor, Dr. Ken Fisher. He is a nephrologist and the author of Understanding Healthcare, A Historical Perspective. He's also on the advisory board of Practicing Physicians of America, and he has written a co-authored article about the need to put the brakes on the CVS merger if we're going to have a competitive healthcare system. So join me in welcoming Dr. Ken Fisher to the Be the People podcast.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I really appreciate all the work that you've done. I see that you've been quite busy trying to educate the public in addition to practicing medicine and trying to take care of your patients.
Absolutely. After I stopped seeing patients when I turned 70 years old, I have devoted the last 7-8 years to health policy. And I've done that because I firmly believe that patients should have a therapeutic relationship with their doctor. It shouldn't be casual. It should be a intimate, close relationship. And that is in the process of being destroyed by both government action and corporate action. So that's what I've been doing the past 8 years.
Now, when you look at healthcare, because you have a long-term perspective, what went wrong and when?
Ah, that's a very good question. Well, it started in World War II. In World War II, most of the men in the country were out killing people, and yet we had to make tanks and trucks and guns and that kind of thing. So what happened was people had to be enticed, mostly women, to come out of the home and work in the factories. However, there was wage controls, so different organizations couldn't compete on wages, but they could compete on benefits. So that's where employer health plans started. And then they used pre-tax dollars, which was confirmed in the 50s to remain pre-tax, that the employer would buy insurance for the employee. However, the policies are in the company's name, so that when the employee leaves that particular job, they lose that insurance. And that's the key problem. It's not in the individual's name. It's in the employer's name. And it's third party. And that's the key, I think, for your audience to understand.
The thing about that is that most of us would say that's not a problem. Like when I have looked for jobs, I always thought it was great if my employer, you know, was offering health care benefits and I didn't have to pay a lot as my portion.
Oh, absolutely. But perhaps the employer should offer it to you as they give you monies to buy your own insurance, so that they're not buying, so that you are in control of the insurance dollars. So that there would be no problem, in my mind, for the employer to say, okay, well, here is a bunch of monies that we will give to you. Pre-tax, it would go into something like a health account, a health savings account or something like that, from which you could pay cash for most care, which is really usually quite inexpensive, and buy a catastrophic insurance policy. And then you would be in charge of the dollars. And so that would be first-party transactions. But instead, the employer is giving money, is sending a huge amount of money to an insurance company, who then reimburses the physician or clinic the monies that you would have paid yourself. But in the process, there's a huge overlay of expense.
I know.
So that's where the problem is. So that's problem number one. So you need a huge bureaucracy to keep track of this money, whereas if the money was given to you directly, that would cease to exist. One of the problems we have in healthcare in this country, why it's so expensive, there are approximately 3 million people working just to keep track of the money. So that's problem number one. Problem number two, it's a third-party transaction. The individual has no knowledge of costs and really has no understanding of the flows of monies. And
well,
I'll give you an example of a third-party transaction, which is one I love to use. Suppose my wife said to me, I should buy her brother a car, and whatever car he wants, and I will pay for it. Just imagine the car that he will buy. So whereas I have to go out and buy my own car, so I would be very concerned about value. My brother-in-law would not. So that's the second problem we have with this idea of a third party paying for health care. So that's one, I mean, those are two reasons why it is so expensive.
Well, the roots of it, so you're saying that's the roots of it. It seems to me that it worked pretty well up until the last 20 years or so.
Well, yes. However, there are a couple of things to keep in mind. First of all, the population has aged, and of course, as the population ages, there's more utilization of health care. So that's number one. But number two, one of the biggest things that most people don't realize is that the armamentarium has greatly increased versus 20, 30 years ago. In other words, our care of people with heart disease is phenomenal, but it's very expensive. Our care of people with cancers now, there are cures that are happening that when I first trained were unimaginable. However, those cures are very expensive. So the more that can be done, of course, the more expensive it becomes. But and then we have diagnostic techniques like CAT scans and MRIs. This is all new. Now the question is, when is it appropriate? Now, if the individual and the physician, if the individual is paying out of their pocket for a CAT scan, they'd think two, three times about it. And also, I'll give you an example of the craziness of the system. Because of the third-party system, you go to a hospital and get a CAT scan, the bill will be, you know, about $1,000. You pay cash. It's $150.
I know. I had an experience with an MRI that hospital, I believe they were going to charge $1,200, but right. I paid cash and I paid $400.
There you go. So there are multiple reasons why the hospital is charging $1,200. And one of the biggest reasons the hospital is charging $1,200 is because Medicare underpays the hospitals about 10%, so they lose money on every Medicare patient. They lose about 50% on every Medicaid patient, so that the only way they can make it up is to charge private insurance more. So now, look what happens.
Right.
So private insurance is usually by the employer, right? So employer... private insurance rates keep on climbing so that the employee does not receive the pay raises that they could in a growing economy. So in effect, it's a hidden tax on working people to subsidize Medicare and Medicaid.
Oh, I had never thought of it that way.
Right. I mean, most people don't because it's hidden. But one of the reasons that insurance rates are climbing so fast is to make up for the losses of Medicare and Medicaid, and that's what's driving the consolidation of hospitals.
Okay.
Because they so they have more purchasing power when they negotiate with an insurance company. So if a single hospital system controls the care for a community, they can really charge that insurance company more. And a lot of that is, of course, profit, although they're called not-for-profit, and the people running these hospital systems are making millions. But the underlying core reason is they have to negotiate to make up their losses for Medicare and Medicaid.
Okay, well, that's very, very interesting. We have to take a break now, and I really want to get to the topic of
Absolutely.
The CVS merger.
Right.
So we'll be back.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Are you wondering what we can do about immigration? Then get your copy of my newly released book, Debating Immigration, the second edition, available at Amazon, Cambridge University Press, and all major booksellers. I'm back with Dr. Ken Fisher. And Ken, I really want to know about this merger between CVS and Aetna.
Well, Aetna has 22 million people that they cover, right? So just imagine what is going to happen when this merger is complete. These 22 million people will, via higher copays, be driven to use CVS for all their drug needs. So what do you think CVS is going to do to their prices? They're going to increase their prices. So how do they then get more people to get to be prescribed more drugs. Wow, we're going to call this a minute clinic, and we're going to have these 22 million people via copays go to the minute clinic for their initial care. Now, what happens in the minute clinic?
I believe some people call those, what, doc in a box?
That's true, except they're not docs. They're mid-level people. They're nurse practitioners and physician assistants. And it's been demonstrated over and over again that these people overprescribe. So, this is now, if you're a CVS, this is really fantastic, right? Because you get people in the door, which in essence you're forcing them to get in the door by a higher copay. This is 22 million people, and they're going to see mid-level care. They're going to receive a lot of prescriptions, which are going to be filled in that pharmacy at high retail prices.
Well, I mean, I've had an experience with one of those doc-in-the-box where I had shingles coming on, and it started in my ear, sort of, and spread to the side of my face. But I went to one of those clinics, and they gave me an antibiotic, but they did not diagnose the shingles. And
so, this was bad. Right.
Yeah, it ended up being a severe case, but they were able to do it. They looked in my ear, not able to diagnose that it was shingles.
Right, and what you needed was an antiviral drug, not an antibiotic. So now think of this, that people, these 22 million people, for their primary care, will be going to these clinics who will be overprescribed very expensive drugs. Now, what is this going to do to the patient-doctor relationship? Well, it's going to destroy it, right? Well, is there an alternative? Now, there is a excellent alternative that is beginning to grow around the country, and that's called direct primary care, where people pay about $100 for an adult and about $20, $30 for a child per month to see a primary care doctor. And that doctor then will see that patient 20, 30 times a year if it's needed, to give them very quick access, just like a minute clinic, but will develop a relationship with that patient over the years. Plus, what these people, what direct primary care does, is get drugs for their patients at wholesale prices. Now you could see how the CVS, Aetna merger their whole model would deteriorate if most people went to a direct primary care doctor.
Well, I would imagine that most people are not aware of the option of a direct primary doctor.
Exactly. And that's one of the key reasons we wrote that article. And what your listeners could really help us in this model, and there was a recent testimony in front of the Senate by Dr. Lee Gross, who is one of the originators of direct primary care, that people should be able to pay from their health savings account directly to the physician to engage in a direct primary care model.
That would
and
be
right
great.
Now, absolutely.
You wouldn't have to
and
file for insurance.
That's exactly right. Well, you would need a catastrophic policy because, of course, you know, you get an automobile accident or, you know, some disease, you know, occurs. I mean, there's no question for very expensive things you need a catastrophic policy.
Are those policies expensive?
They're incredibly cheap.
They're
incredibly cheap. And one of the problems has been with the Affordable Care Act with their essential benefits is that all of a sudden they were taken off the market. But now they're being reintroduced. They're being reintroduced because of regulation changes with this administration. And now you can get a catastrophic insurance policy, which is incredibly cheap because you've eliminated all this paperwork for seeing a physician for minor issues, right? So the only thing that this catastrophic policy is covering is big-time hospital expenses. So that eliminates most of the underlying cost.
Well, let me ask you this. Would a person
Please,
on Medicare,
right,
you know, and they have the option of, they have all these supplements they have to decide about.
Sure.
How
You're right.
would this affect them? Would they be able to get that? Or how, if you were on Medicare and you were making those decisions, what would be the best option for a person?
Sure. Well, my wife and I have F. You know, it's an expensive, which, you know, means no co-pays and all that stuff. However, one of the things that was brought to the Senate's attention by Lee Gross was that they would have to be legislation to allow Medicare recipients to go to develop a direct primary care relationship. So there you see is the nubbin of the problem. And the nubbin of the problem is we have evolved over the years. Like you said, you know, 20, 30 years ago, it seemed to work well, this third-party system. So it's third-party for people who are working, for their families, and it's third-party in both government programs, Medicare and Medicaid. So one of the problems we have with Medicare and Medicaid, as the expenses have just blown way out of expectation, is they keep on making changes to try to control expenses. But because it's a third party, system and with a huge bureaucracy and people not knowing the true cost of the care they're getting, it's sort of, you know, like when we were children, you'd see a dog chasing its own tail, you know, going around and around, and we'd all laugh and say, oh, this is really funny. Well, that's what Congress is doing because it's stuck in this third-party system. So it has a huge bureaucracy. It tries to control costs for Medicare and Medicaid. Of course, it never can because it's a third-party system. And it just keeps on getting worse and worse and worse. And they don't know how to deal with it because they're stuck. Because we have to recall that Medicare and Medicaid were passed as an amendment to Social Security. So they're stuck in that framework. So, and in a way, the CVS-Aetna merger sort of mirrors this third-party arrangement, forcing people to do things without knowing the cost and without understanding any of the alternatives.
Well, let me ask you this. What will the CVS and Aetna merger do to Walgreens, Rite Aid, and some of the other drugstores that would not be covered?
Well, thank you, Carol. That's a wonderful question. And the whole idea of the merger is for the 22. I mean, why would CVS spend about $70 billion? This is billion. I mean, these are huge numbers to buy an insurance company because they want a captive population. And with that captive population, those people will not be able to shop around at Walgreens or Walmart or their local supermarket for a better deal, right? It takes choice away from the consumer. It's exactly the opposite of real capitalism, right? Adam Smith, said you need competition for the market to work, and these people are eliminating competition. That's why they're spending the money.
We need to take another break, and after I take the break, I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about Judge Richard Leon.
Oh, sure.
There are speakers, and then there are great speakers who know the importance of creating that memorable moment. Well, the key to any successful event is an informative and inspirational speaker. Professor Dr. Carol Swain is that gifted speaker. She delivers passionately from the heart every time. To find out more about booking Carol for your next great event, simply go to carolmswain.com. Click on Public Speaking and then click the blue Book Carol tab.
You're listening to the Be the People podcast, and we're talking about rising healthcare costs. And there's a big merger with CVS and Aetna that's not going to serve the interests of the average American. A judge, Judge Richard Leon, is looking at it closely. And so my guest, Ken Fisher, is going to tell us a little bit about the judge and where things stand right now.
Sure. Be a pleasure. I don't know that much about Judge Leon. I do know that he was involved somewhat in the AT&T merger when Southern Bell bought AT&T. And his concern is that the Justice Department allowed this to go through with very little study because they said, well, it's not two drugstores competing with each other. It's an the drugstore is buying an insurance company, and his complaint is the Justice Department did not look into how it's going to destroy competition between drugstores. Exactly the point that you raised, and he's saying to the Justice Department, "Wait a second, you haven't really examined this. You just gave it a carte blanche." And you didn't look at how it's going to destroy competitions within drugstores. So it's exactly the point you raised, and that's what he is saying. And so, of course, CVS is saying, "Oh no, it's too late. I'm sorry, Judge. You can't, you can't make us do this." Some of the testimony. However, the judge said, "I can do this." And so he is an antitrust expert, and he's saying, wait a second, this is going to do exactly, Carol, what you suggested, and that is it's going to force patients not to shop around for their drug needs.
Well, what's likely to happen? Do you think Walgreens and some of those other big corporations will look for their own insurance companies, or will they fight back?
It's possible. But I think there is a way that we, the American people, can fight back, and we can say, wait a second, to Congress and to the administration and the IRS, let us pay for direct primary care from our health savings account with pre-tax dollars. And if you just imagine, if let's say even 10 million Americans went to direct primary care. What would that do to this CVS, Aetna, or if other of these big chains bought insurance companies? What would it do to their model? It would destroy it.
Well, tell me, how do people find out more about direct primary care? And then is there an organization that people can join forces with so that they can sort of leverage their power when they're interacting with Congress?
Yes. There are a couple. One is the Docs for Patient Care Foundation.
Okay.
That's one. Another one is the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. And they have a big website. Another one is Practicing Physicians of America, PPA. They have a website. And there's, of course, a lot of talk about health savings accounts. People can look into health savings accounts. and health savings accounts and now health reimbursement accounts, which have just been augmented by this administration, look into these things and say, wait a second, I want to be able to be in charge of my own health care. I don't want some third party determining what is my health care needs, and this is sort of to me, why I got so involved in this. This is anti-American. In other words, to me, the idea of America is you empower the individual. And you let individuals have the knowledge to be able to run their own lives, right?
I mean, I agree. I mean, that's the American way.
That's what we stand for. Right, that's yes. what we stand for. So yet, we're in one of the most important parts of our lives, we're consolidating it so that third parties determine what we do. And that's, to me, what this Aetna-CVS merger, you know, represents. It's the pinnacle of trying to control your behavior. It's insane to me. It's un-American.
Well, Ken, when this interview is over in a few seconds, I'd like for you to email me the information about the organization so that we can post it online.
And absolutely.
Do you have any contact information that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yes. If they're interested in these issues, I tweet only health policy. So it's at Kenneth A. Fisher. And every day I put up what I think are major issues that have come up in this never-ending quest to empower individuals to take care of themselves and not let other people control their health options. So it's at Kenneth A. Fisher. And I tweet on the, and it's strictly health policy. There are no politics. There's no, you know, for one side or the other side or independence or this, that, or the other thing. It's strictly opinions of what's going on with health policy.
Now, if
I'm sorry, go ahead.
If someone wanted to get you as a speaker, what would they do?
Oh, well, they can contact me at my email, which is drkafisher@gmail.com.
Okay.
And I will gladly speak about this issue. As you can tell, I'm really charged up about it.
Well, you're certainly knowledgeable, and we're so pleased to have had you as a guest today.
And it's a pleasure to be here.
I appreciate your commitment and also the commitments of many physicians that I have met recently who are out there working for their patients, working for patient choice. And
right.
So, you know, we applaud you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. It's sort of an uphill climb, but if enough of us get involved, we can accomplish a lot.
That's right. And so, folks, you see that we have a lot of work to do when it comes to health care reform, trying to decrease prices, but we also have ways that we can be empowered. And one of the ways that we can be empowered is by learning more about this direct patient care, where we can have a relationship with our physician, we can help cut out the middlemen, and we can drive down costs. And we also need to be concerned about this merger. We will be posting online some links, and so it's important for us, for we the people, to remember that it's up to us to be the people who change America and change our world.